go to Proverbs 6, Proverbs chapter 6 in your Bible. Faith is our singer tonight. We'll enjoy the good song, and then we'll be right into Proverbs chapter 6. Ushers, I hope you're ready to go, and several men helping. We'll get the handouts ready in just a moment, to as soon as Faith's done singing. All right. Thank you.
When I'm low in spirit, I cry, Lord, lift me up. I want to go higher with Thee. But the Lord knows I can't live on the mountain. So He picked out a valley for me. He leads me beside still waters. Somewhere in the valley below, He draws me aside to be tested and tried. But in the valley, He restores my soul. It's dark as a dungeon, and the sun doesn't shine. I question, Lord, why must this be? But He tells me there's strength in my sorrow, and there's victory in trials for me.
Song. You realize everybody loves the mountaintops, but you know there's a valley on both sides of a mountain. So for every one mountaintop experience, you got two valleys. That's okay as long as the lily of the valley is there. Amen. And He is. Great, fellas. You're already passing them out. Amen. Wonderful. Now, I had a thought a moment ago along the lines of Brother Ray's suggestion, and here's what I thought. To be a blessing to Brother Bishop, I know this will be a blessing to him. Last night, they are taking the offerings at camp this summer for a new boys' shower house. And so he was asking for that last night, told the teenagers that they were going to take the offering for the new boys' shower house. I didn't have a lot of money. I had a $20 bill on me, so I threw that in the plate. But I was thinking along the lines of Ray's suggestion that along with his personal support, we could also send a $500 check for the boys' shower house. And I know that would lift his spirits immensely. So is that all right if we do that? Is that would that be okay? Is that something that sounds good? If we would do that tonight, all in favor of that, amen. And we'll send that along. And then we'll also do an offering for him, a Wednesday night offering later on this year when camp is over. So that's good. That was a good thing. That was on my mind there. I was thinking about that. It would be a real, real encouragement to him. And camps are trying to upgrade. The pressure is on, you know. I thought Brother Rule, he taught the boys in a split session. I thought he made a great statement to those boys. Brother Rule got saved. He and I are 1 month apart. We're the same age. And we got saved out of similar circumstances. And he told the fellows, he said, we are from the hippie generation. He said, you are the spoiled generation. And he said, it's not your fault. And he said, really, there's nothing wrong with it. Just be grateful. Just be thankful. Just be grateful for what you have. I thought that was a good statement. You know, kids can't, a lot of times young people can't alter what they're handed. They can't change that. But you can be thankful for it. Instead of feeling like you deserve it. There's a huge difference, isn't there? Huge difference. So I don't know what all this is coming out. We may get a lesson somewhere tonight. But anyway, I'm glad to be with you. All right, you have handout number 11. We're in Proverbs 6. Father, help us tonight, please, and give us your mind and your heart, and give us a heart like David, that's a heart after your heart, to be like you, to want to please you, to want to honor you, to want to serve you with our lives. Bless this time of teaching in Jesus' name and amen. Living wisely, principle number 17. You've got it there in handout number 11. We're looking at Proverbs chapter 6 and we're looking at verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate. So, living wisely, principle 17. Living wisely is recognizing there are certain sins that God hates. Living wisely is recognizing that there are certain sins that God hates. And you have the list of these sins in verses 17 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 6. It's a familiar passage to you, but please don't take the approach that, you know what, I don't really need this because I don't have any of these tendencies. Just hear the lesson out before you think that, okay? We all know that sin has consequences. That's number two. All sin has consequences. But when you come to a passage of Scripture that plainly says, this is what God hates, and then there follows this list of several sins, it would be wise to especially avoid being guilty of those particular sins. Now, I understand, God hates sin. He hates every sin. He can never be reconciled to sin outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. And the only reason he can be reconciled to sin through the blood of Jesus Christ is because the blood of Jesus Christ takes sin away. And that's the only way God's reconciled to it. It's taken away. But there are some sins which he in a special manner hates, and those are mentioned here in Proverbs chapter 6. So wisdom looks at this list, understands the potential that's in the heart. And that's what we have to realize, folks. The potential for every one of these seven things is in us. Well, I'm saved. Doesn't matter. You still got the old flesh. Okay? Same old flesh. Still in us. And so we understand that. And we seek to stay clear of offending God in any of these. So let's look at them, starting with number three on your sheet. The following sins are ones that God hates. Letter A is the sin of pride. You see it in verse 6. 6 verse 17, a proud look. Now, is it any wonder this is the first sin mentioned? It was the original sin in heaven as Lucifer, in pride, lifted himself up to desire equality with God. And he didn't just desire equality with God. He said, I will be like God. So I'm not happy with what God has given me. I'm not happy with the place that God has put me in, by the way. I said this to some, maybe in our class, in the discipleship class. You understand that of all the created beings, Satan had the position closest to the throne of God. Closest to the throne. As the angel in charge of the praise of heaven. So he was the, of all the created beings, more so than great Gabriel, more so than Michael, even though they were archangels. Satan had, a coveted position, but he wasn't happy with it. And he said in Isaiah chapter 14, and beginning with verse number 12, we won't turn there tonight for sake of time, but you can read that passage and you can read the five I wills of Satan. I will ascend. I will be like. I will arise. I will do this. I will. You know, any time we exercise our will above the will of God, we are very much, folks, guilty of pride. Pride. Be happy with where you're at. Lucifer obviously thought that he could be God and wanted to be God. And pride is at the base of rebellion. And before you think you can't be guilty of this, ladies, be very careful that you don't take the attitude of, I will be the husband. Not physically, but in a leadership role. I will have my way. Be careful of that. You young people, be careful. Teenagers and children and all you college-age young people who are still under the watch care of your parents, be careful when you say, I will be the parent. I will decide what we're going to do. I will have my way. You know, church has to be careful when someone in the church says, I will be the pastor, if you're not the one called to be the pastor. This is the kind of thing we're talking about here tonight, folks. This is the kind of thing that's in our heart. And this is what God hates. God hates pride. Now, pride finds its way into our looks. Do you see verse 17? A proud look. God does not just hate pride, but God hates the very look of pride. Okay? God hates the very look of pride. I hope you have the blank so far. Pride was the original sin in heaven committed by Lucifer, and God hates the very look of pride. A pompous, proud look brings the displeasure of God. And the look of pride is in us when we look down on others. Pride causes us to pick at people. Pride causes us to point out the faults of others when they don't do things just like we think they ought to be done. You need to do things like I want them. Things like this is what I would now. If in some situations, in some cases, if you are a responsible person in a position of leadership, then obviously if you have people underneath you, they need to do things a certain way. This is the way I want it done. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm talking about when you're on an equal plane with people, you brothers and sisters that are constantly picking on each other. Simply because your brother or your sister doesn't do things just like you do it. And you find fault with that. Well, they're not you and you're not them. And people are different and have different personalities and different temperaments. And just because they don't do it just like you do it doesn't mean they're wrong. And that's why there's a mom and dad in the house. They need to be the parent, not the other sibling. Be careful of that. Pride causes us to have a proud look is when we look down on others. So this is something that the Bible tells us that God hates. God hates the sin of pride, and not just the sin of pride. He hates the very look of pride. Then letter B on your page, verse number 17, the second thing on the list is a lying tongue. So God hates the sin of lying. It's no wonder that this is second on the list. Lying is despicable. Again, it was characteristic of Satan. In the Garden of Eden, you remember he came to Eve after God had told Adam, and Adam had told Eve, if we eat of the fruit of that tree, we shall surely die. Satan turned right around and said to her, thou shalt not surely die. Folks, that's 180 degrees opposite. That's exactly opposite what God said. And that's exactly why God hates lying so bad. Lying is hated by God because it is the opposite of truth. And truth is all that God is in His person and in His character. God is truth. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, is truth. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And the Bible is the Word of truth. And the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Everything about God's person and character is truth. And lying is the opposite of truth. So that's why God hates it so badly. I'm not going to revisit the message or the preaching and teaching on child rearing. But just once again, young parents, I believe this is something that you need to sit on and sit on consistently and sit on immediately and don't let slide. Do not let your children get by with lying. Do not do that. Okay? Lying is a sin that God hates. Letter C on your paper is the word murder. You can look at verse number 17, the third sin in this list. A proud look, number one. Number two, a lying tongue, letter C, or the third one, hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the shedding of innocent blood is defined in the Bible a couple of ways. We won't turn to it, but in Deuteronomy 19, God ordered the creation of certain cities, and He called them cities of refuge. And He ordered the creation of these cities for the children of Israel. One of the purposes of these cities, now listen, was to protect the land from the shedding of innocent blood. Now on your paper, underneath letter C, specifically these cities of refuge were designed to protect people who were guilty of manslaughter. Okay? These cities of refuge were designed specifically to protect people who were guilty of manslaughter. So here's what God said. Let me use Joey and Elijah here tonight. Boys, put your pens and papers down. Come on up here. So the Bible, this is the illustration the Bible uses in Deuteronomy chapter 19. These fellas are friends and they go out into the woods together to chop some firewood down. And they're both carrying axes. And they're working and they're chopping away and chopping away and chopping away. And as one of them is slinging his axe, the head of the axe flies off and conks the other person. And really, with given these two boys, it could go either direction, okay? Probably could fly both ways, amen? So the head comes off the axe, and we'll let Joey be the one that gets it, okay? Whack! Hits Joey in the head, and you're a good actor. I'll have to call you again. And Joey dies, okay? And then Joey's family and relatives, in a fit of anger and grief and emotion, start hunting Elijah down to kill him. It was what they call manslaughter. It was not premeditated. It was not willful. It was a legitimate accident. So God said there has to be cities of refuge so that this guy can flee to one of those cities. And in that city, he is protected, because if his family kills him in revenge, then the land is stained with innocent blood. Are you with me? Okay, thank you, fellas. So that's the first, one of the first ways that a land could be guilty of the shedding of innocent blood, okay? And so somebody takes somebody's life by the fact of manslaughter, and somebody retaliates. But this also could apply to the taking of life as a random act of violence or hatred, like some of these bozos walking up on policemen sitting in their cruisers and shooting them dead. You see, innocent blood doesn't always mean sinless blood. Okay, look, if Elijah kills Joe with the axe head, you know, Elijah's a grown man. He doesn't have innocent blood. He doesn't have sinless blood. But if somebody kills him, somebody from Joe's family kills him, then that's called the shedding of innocent blood. So innocent doesn't always mean sinless. It's an act of violence. It's a random act of violence. It doesn't mean the person is without sin, okay? So that's one way a land can be guilty of shedding innocent blood. Then another way, the way that we're most familiar with this passage, is happened during Manasseh's reign in the Bible. And the Bible says in 2 Kings, listen to this, he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, watch this, which the Lord would not pardon. Now you know what this was? This was the blood of children, his children, that he sacrificed to the fires of false gods. And it's the blood of prophets, true prophets, that he had killed because he did not approve of their messages. So again, we're not talking about necessarily sinless blood. Folks, listen, babies don't have sinless blood. Babies have sinful blood, but they're innocent because there's been no willful sin. And then Manasseh filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, which the Lord would not pardon. Now, obviously, America has the blood of innocence on her hands because of the horrible sin of abortion. And I want you to see the Bible says in the book of Kings that God would not pardon. That blood, that innocent blood that Manasseh shed when he put his sacrificed his children to the fire. Can you imagine those little children being thrown into the fires of those false gods and their bodies writhing in pain? Well, go online sometime and look at an abortion. And watch the little fetus in the womb retract away from the instrument. It'll make you sick. Sick. And we put our stamp of legality and our stamp of approval on that as a country. And the truth of the matter is, it's so commonplace in our nation anymore that even as Christian people, we're appalled by it. But what are we going to do? Our land is filled with the shedding of innocent blood. The numbers are staggering. And this is a sin that God hates. Now, people, there are times when God expects a life to be taken by another. That's in the Bible. The person who kills another in anger and cold blood is supposed to have his blood shed by those who are appointed to punish the evildoers. That's what God says. And the execution is to take place speedily. I can help Rahm Emanuel with all of his hand-wringing over his, you know, and his anguish over this horrible gun problem in Chicago. We can help Rahm real quick. Because this dilemma can be solved quickly if he would just obey the Word of God. People learn real fast. And if you kill somebody on Monday, your body will be hanging by Tuesday. If you kill somebody on Wednesday, you'll be in front of the firing squad on Thursday, and we're not going to spend multiplied thousands of dollars and feed your carcass in an air-conditioned room and give you weights to lift and good food to eat while we decide if you did it or not. When we have video of you pulling your gun out and killing somebody. If our country would simply go by the laws of God, we'd have a much more peaceful existence. And don't ever think for one minute, friend, that it's the gun's fault. But you check it out online. The cities that have the highest crime rates have the strictest gun laws. It's nuts. But anyway. Now, God hates that kind of thing. Murder. All right? I think we filled in all the blanks there on that line. America has the blood of innocence on her hands because of the horrible sin of abortion. Murder, number three. Letter D in the list here, it begins in verse number 18, and that is an evil heart. I put it that way in letter D. An evil heart. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. This is the heart that designs and devises evil. This is the heart that connives and works to bring evil to pass. This is the premeditated, willful planning and carrying out of evil. I believe there is some sin committed that is just, and I know we don't always preach it this way, but I do think you can get caught in the spur of a moment, in a moment of temptation, off guard, and commit some sin. What God hates is the premeditated planning and willful carrying out and conniving and putting the pieces, manipulating to carry out evil. The Bible says God hates the heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. And I think you can also include in that crowd right there, that bunch out in Hollywood that writes all these filthy, filthy stories that are the imaginations of their own heart. God hates that kind of nonsense, that kind of sin. All right, E, the pursuit of wickedness. Now look at this. The pursuit of wickedness, verse number 18. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. Feet that would be swift in running to mischief. In fact, to mark your Bible. Well, you might desecrate your Bible if you do this. I was going to say, circle that and write Al Sharpton out to the side of it. But just writing Al Sharpton's name in there might desecrate your Bible. Or you could write Jesse Jackson. Folks, that's exactly what this is. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. This is Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and others who run to exploit situations that can be used to promote their agenda. Can anybody say Ferguson, Missouri? Baltimore, Maryland? By the way, isn't that interesting that that cop was found not guilty? Hello? Well, it gives you some satisfaction to know that there's still a sense of justice somewhere in our land. This is what this is. There's no lasting concern. Al Sharpton has no lasting concern. Jesse Jackson has no lasting concern for the people involved in these things. I wonder how many times Al Sharpton has been back to Ferguson since the cameras have been gone. This is a seizing of the moment for personal gain to get my face on the camera. That's feet that's swift in running to mischief. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. And by the way, just on a more practical level for all of you boys and girls, stay out of mischief. If you see trouble and mischief brewing somewhere in the school or off anywhere away from school, just stay away from it. Stay away from it. Now, folks, look at this. These first five on the list. This should be a reminder that God wants us to use our bodies for His honor and glory. We are bought with a price and we are not our own. We belong to God and God hates it when we allow the eyes that belong to Him to be filled with pride. God hates it when we use the tongue that belongs to Him to lie. God hates it when we use the hands that belong to Him to shed innocent blood. God hates it when we use the heart that belongs to Him to devise wicked imaginations. God hates it when we use the feet that belong to Him to run to mischief. Folks, when God saved us, He purchased us, and that includes our bodies. Eyes, tongue, hands, heart, feet. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like your body. I think it would be pretty hypocritical for us to look forward to a glorified body someday and yet not use the body we have now for the glory of God. And by the way, you say again, well, Pastor, I agree with you, but these are big, heavy things that I just don't see, you know, any chance, any way that I could ever be caught or involved in this kind of thing. Well, Brother Mick and I had made the trip to Arkansas. You go down 57 until it ends and you catch Interstate 55. And right there where it turns, where 57 and 55 come together, just about a mile and a half from that place, is a place called Lambert's Cafe. Now, we were driving along there 70 miles an hour and the car just turned and started going that direction. Brother Mick had never been to Lambert's. Now he's broke in. He weighs about 6 pounds heavier than when he went. Got a bunch of throwed rolls. But then they had frog legs. And we had this black waitress, nicest lady. And I was wearing a Faith Baptist Church polo. And she said, y'all in the ministry? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I felt something when I came to this table. And she took care of us, and we both got a big hug before we left. No, we're not going to say goodbye. We're going to come here, honey. We're going to have a big hug. Amen. I'm telling you that in case somebody took a picture, wife, okay? Be on Instagram. Oh, mercy. But we passed by the exit, Brother Greg, of Charleston, Missouri. Right by it. I told Brother Mick, I said, we are less than a mile and a half. Less than 2 miles from where Mike Hagee is right now. Right now. I didn't have time to stop. I wish I did. I told him I really wished I had time to stop today, but we left before 6 o'clock and it was 4 o'clock when we got home. It's a long haul. Why did you drive? Because I ain't flying. I'm not going to those airports. I can only take so much. I know myself. And I'll be in jail. That'd be a nice Instagram picture. Your pastor peering through the bars. They're waiting 3.5 and 4 hours in line. I'm not doing that. Man, you can't stop at Lambert's when you're in the plane. There is a man in that prison, Pedro Simmons prison. I can tell you his name, but I won't do it. He's a graduate of Tennessee Temple. He was a pastor. Took up with a woman in his church. Killed her husband. Let's see. Pride. There's a little bit of pride. And thinking you can get by with taking another man's wife. Lying. You reckon there had to be any lies told to finagle all that? Murder of an innocent, not sinless, innocent man. Evil heart devising wicked imaginations. You reckon that happened? And feet that run swift, feet that be swift in running to mischief. There's a man that was a pastor of a church sitting in prison in Charleston, Missouri, who a preacher guilty of all five of those things. All five of them. The sins that God says He hates. So folks, don't write these or chalk these up as no problem. Our heart is so desperately wicked that any and each one of us could be in the same situation. And the person who says, not me, is probably the closest to some kind of disaster. That's the truth. That is the truth. So those are five of the seven. Now let's look at the last two here. Letter F on your paper here. Because the last two, this list all of a sudden when it comes to verse number 19, this list becomes very specific to the point that it is not just the sin that God hates. Now it's expanded to the person. I know that chaps some people, but I don't know how else to read it, folks. Look at what it says. Verse 19, a false witness that speaketh lies. That's personal. Are you seeing what I'm reading there? That's personal. This is more than lying. This is lying to defame the character, name, or reputation of another. This is a false witness. Lying to detain or defame the character, name, or reputation of another. A good illustration from your Bible, this is Jezebel, who set up false witnesses to lie about Naboth. And ultimately, Naboth's name and reputation and character were destroyed. Not only that, he was murdered and killed. And the mode of her death should help us see how God feels about the assassination of another person's character. Remember how she died? For those who may not be familiar, Jehu goes flying into town in his chariot. Jezebel is standing out on the balcony of the palace. She's the queen and the daughter of a king. Jehu hollers out, "Who is on the Lord's side?" And a couple of the guards, "Here am I." Fling her down. Well, I think it said throw her down, but fling sounds better. Fling her down. Throw her down. So they threw her down. And that wasn't enough. Jehu drove his chariot and horses over there and they stomped her to death. You reckon God hates a false witness? Drove his chariot away, went inside, sit down and drank a cup of community coffee. You got to go to school and take Hebrew to figure all that out. Amen. We hit the jackpot this morning, 5:45. We pulled into a gas station to get a cup of coffee. It was community coffee in the pot. Man. While Jehu was sitting in there drinking his coffee, forgive me, Brother Roloff. He says, somebody go out there and bury her because she was the daughter of a king, and to go out there and all that's left is her face and the palms of her hands because the dogs came, ate her up and licked her blood out of the sand, just like God said. Oof. Now, you know what, folks? Before we pass on information that defames someone's name, reputation, or character, we better check it out. And maybe it's best not to even say it. That's called a false witness. And as I read this now, we've transitioned more from the sin to the sinner. God hates the false witness that speaketh lies. Well, that kind of chaps the liberal Christians, denominational preachers. I don't know how you're going to do it. And that's not all. The last one on the list, verse number 19, he that soweth discord among the brethren. So that last one on the list that God hates, he that soweth. How else are you going to read that, folks? It doesn't say sowing discord. It says he that sows discord among the brethren. Now, God hates the person. That's strong. I don't know how else to read that. God hates the person who engages in planting seeds of discord between those who are saved. So unnecessary divisions, arguments and anger, etc., caused by the dropping of comments or suggestions or the raising of a doubt to one person about another, that's hated by God. Now stop and think for just a minute. Are you and I, have we been guilty of, have you ever made a suggestion about another person or raised a doubt about one Christian brother to another Christian brother? Have you ever been guilty of that, folks? That's sowing discord. And the Bible says that's what God hates. I'll tell you who does this. The jealous person does this. The jealous person desires the affection or attention that one person gives to another. And in order to secure it for themselves, that affection and attention, they drop suggestions or comments that end up causing disagreement between the other two. You saw, you got, you know, here's on your paper. Look here, it was said, be cautious of the person who is jealous of your friendships with others. Does that make sense? Be cautious of the person who is jealous of your friendships with others. The one who is selfish, the one who selfishly wants all your attention. And people will drop a little bit of a hint of a suggestion or a suspicion, you know, to cause the other person to start to question the other person's sincerity or honesty. And that leads to disagreements and anger. And that's the sowing of discord. Before you believe anything that another person tells you about one of your friends, make sure you check out the story before jumping to conclusions. And that would include what you read on Facebook. Now, not only is this the behavior of a bitter person, a jealous person, it's the behavior of a bitter person. And I'm running out of time. But you remember Absalom in 2 Samuel? And he went and he positioned himself. He was bitter at his dad. And he positioned himself by the gate. And somebody, one of the folks in the kingdom came by and had a little bit of a problem. And they said to Absalom, "Oh, Absalom, is your dad in today? You know, I don't think dad's in today. What's the matter?" "Well, I got this." "Well, you know, boy, it's just too bad that there's nobody here that can hear your problem. I wonder what Dad's doing." He began to plant seeds of discord. He undermined his father's character and reputation, and he began to plant seeds of discord, and he stole the hearts of the people. Can I remind you how Absalom died? Hanging from a tree with three darts through his liver. Blood bubbles popping out of his mouth. See, God's pretty serious about some of this stuff. You know, if you share friends, be happy if the other two or the other three get to do something together when you can't be a part of it? Well, they didn't call me. Okay. That's life. Now, these are sins that God said He hated. And I know some might have a hard time believing that God hates. But friend, that's because they perceive Him as only a God of love. But we always have to remember that God is just. He is equal. He is balanced. To the degree that God loves righteousness, to that same degree He hates sin. He's balanced on both sides. And God really hates these seven sins. Now, what it should create in me and you is a measure of fear. And I don't think that's wrong. I don't mean fear like, but I mean carefulness. I'm not scared of you, but I don't want to offend you. And I like the electrician who, he's not afraid to work with the line, has all the high voltage running through it, but he doesn't just be silly with it. And I think that's how this ought to affect us with God. Because it's serious business. This list of sins is not here by accident. It's not here just as a coincidence, just as filler in the Bible. These are seven things, six things that God hates, yea, seven, an abomination unto Him. And that those last two not only involve the sin, but the person who's doing the sinning. I don't need God against me like that. No, sir. I don't need that. This is His body. When He purchased me, He bought me body, soul, and spirit. And I should use all three to honor and glorify Him. And some of the things that we might get involved in, He specifically hates. And the wise, living wisely, is recognizing there are certain sins God hates and making sure we steer clear of those. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, we don't want to displease You in any way, shape, or form, but especially in these ways. And Lord, maybe where some of these things are a little further away from us, there are some that could be very close to us if we're not careful. And we have the potential for all of them. So would You please help us, Lord, to walk circumspectly and to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And Lord, just help us, please, to be mindful and make our confession when we're wrong. And God, help us not to be a false witness. Help us not to sow discord among the brethren, among saved people. Help us not to talk falsely about people and defame their character and their reputation and their name. And Lord, if it even didn't start with us, help us not to pass it on. God, please, keep us from this sin. These sins. Keep our hearts right. Help us in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, You please.